consistency with anything is what affects our DNA. When you talked about what we carry, if you're consistent, that's the only way to change that epigenetic layer. It's the only way to truly activate the DNA that you want.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I wanted to dial back a little bit before you were even born. I was born in Romania, left at a young age, but still young enough that I don't really remember a lot of it. And I don't know, I feel that world still running through my veins, somehow transported through my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, where did your family come from? And do you ever feel sort of the trauma or the impact of that world kind of running through your veins and somehow being born with that?
Yeah, so there's an unconscious competency that I was born with and everyone was born with. And through my own journey studying, you know, initially just the conscious of getting better, which made me a millionaire at a young age, how to think, say, and do things with a different mindset. And then in my 30s, kind of working through the beliefs, the subconscious mind, the 40,000, the same thoughts, neural pathways, really understanding, going from the law of Goya, getting off my ass, to the law of attraction in the belief system, think and grow rich, you know, kind of in that thrive realm of, you know, if you can believe it, you can achieve it type of stuff. And now I've moved into that exact realm of understanding our DNA. And whether you believe, like I do, that there's an infinity of lifetimes in time, or whether you believe, like our science proves, that there's at least four generations of information that is in our own DNA, right? These different computer elements of what we're doing. And that cellular structure, that DNA that we have, that coding, we can call it, it carries not only information, but it carries an energy that way back when in Sanskrit, people could understand in a lot better way without the interference or corrosion to the connection to that energy. So without a doubt, I study history, and not just history to formulate human nature and how can we expand and progress, but more importantly, my own history, looking at different family members in history. There's been a few books that have been written in my family history from Eastern Europe and what and how we lived and how we came across. And especially because I was blessed, my grandparents lived so long that I was blessed to have asked a ton of questions of my grandparents, who both grandfathers lived into 97 and both grandmas into the 90s, which I spent an extraordinary amount of time not just understanding the history of what happened, and it's more, I think, the energy that they carried. So what did I carry over and what do I know? One, I can outwork anyone, right? People say, did that just come naturally, right? I work hard and I'm not a quitter. I was born with that. My mom didn't teach me that.
Yeah, that's actually what I was getting at, because, you know, you talk often about your mother bringing up six kids, you know, single mother and so on, but you felt that it runs deeper, because when I hear that story, I think it runs a couple generations back to Germany, to all of the, you know, the craziness that happened. In fact, I'm curious to know, was a lot of people had changed the names in the past. Was Meltzer?
Machowski, yeah.
Machowski, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And my favorite thing about my name is, you know, my first name is obviously biblical. One of the biggest biblical names, David, which means beloved. So in German, Meltzer means waiter, right? So I'm a beloved servant, which I've, for whatever reason, believe is truly my destiny.
So where does the Machowski come from?
Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did it change from that to Meltzer? Or
yeah, Ellis Island, they changed it to Meltzer, which is why there's so many Meltzers. I think it became a more common name through Ellis Island, and which was really cool for me, because one of the greatest honors that I've had in my life is to be an Ellis Island Medal of Honor winner and get to have my name honored, you know, with all my relatives that are on, you know, the plaque and everything, and wow, be considered a product of immigration and a product of someone who's given back to our country that wasn't born here.
Yeah, there's a vibe in that place whenever you step on that island. Yeah. You just can't. I mean, you have to know a bit of the history, but I think there's just something that's pretty special about that specific location that's just absorbed that.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, the award was nice, but for me, one of the greatest moments of my life, and definitely the greatest moment of that whole experience, was they gave you a private ferry tour to and from, and on the way back, they stopped at the Statue of Liberty and had a private, with music, fireworks show in honor of us. And I was on there with my family and holding my wife, and at that time, boy, I think maybe 4-year-old son, I still get choked up. I was sobbing. It was extraordinary opportunity that we've been given.
Yeah. Well, I remember I wrote something on LinkedIn recently about my father breaking down when we finally got to the U.S. to Canada. Actually, moved to Canada,
yeah.
Quebec City. First time we drove across the border, my father had bought a big American car, big Chevrolet Biscayne, 1972, and he crossed the border and he pulled over and broke down, sobbing. And you know, we're little kids. We're like, well, what?
Right, you've probably never seen your dad cry, right?
Never, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he finally explained to us that, you know, from the time he was a kid in the streets, fighting in the streets against communism, his dream was to have made that trip. And it finally happened, you know, 40 years
later. So awesome. Yeah, I was thinking exactly that in mind. Like, wow, I was born, like, into this situation with a single mom and six kids and hard work. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was a multimillionaire. I was on a private whatever, being honored to give back to my country, and I should be honoring my country for the opportunity. And I still think that's something that's missing today, is that I travel the whole world. I'm blessed to speak around the world, coach around the world, but I don't think people realize the opportunity that there's nowhere else in the world where you could be born or come here with absolutely nothing, not even knowing the language. And still today, in 2019, it's only a matter of time before you could be the richest man in the world or impact the entire world. Forget money, you can impact the entire world. You know I want to impact over 1 billion people on Earth to be happy, and I'm constantly trying to figure out how to articulate the ease of being happy. And so the way that I have figured it now is that, number one, you have to realize that you're already connected to the greatest source of energy of all time, the greatest light, the greatest source of infinity, like an unbelievable source, and that we are lamps, we're plugged in all the time, and our heart is that light. The minute the heart stops, that's when the embodiment ends. And so that heart's gonna stay connected. What we need to focus in on is how do we get rid of more and more interference from the ego, more and more corrosion from the ego, the ego-based consciousness. So in that respect, to be happy, number one, you have to have one of the greatest disciplines or mindsets, which is you only have one action every day. We live in a man-made construct of 24 hours. You need to only have one mindset in the day, and that's, I only get one action. And it's very true, because once you take your first action, everything else is a reaction. So you go to bed, then you get another gift, a new action. So in its core, you need a mindset of what that action is going to be to set your frequency at the highest level. And the way and why you want to do that for your first action is that when the ego-based consciousness will come from reaction to protect ourselves, when the ego-based consciousness comes, then we need to react. And that mindset is react back to our highest frequency, our highest potential, which all vary, right? My highest potential is at a certain level. It's higher than it used to be, and it's higher and lower than other people's. So for me, my mindset is thought, action, into peace. So gratitude for me is the Ferrari that drives us to center, right? It's the ultimate vehicle. Gratitude puts me into peace, joy, happiness, and truth. I raise my frequency every day, and then I try to live as close as I can to that highest frequency, that truth, that love, that happiness. And then, like you said, I'm not happy all day. Something happens. And all of a sudden, I have a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, or superior. Then I have to say to myself before I accelerate into an ego-based consciousness and ruin those relationships and create more interference or more corrosion to that powerful source that I'm connected to. Now, my reaction is first to stop, drop, and roll, meaning stop, drop, go back to center, to the highest frequency I can, and roll right within that light.
So, you know, when I wake up in the morning, my wife used to think that was kind of silly, because it was kind of silly. So I'd open up the blinds, like those blinds, and the sun's coming up because we're in California, and I would literally say, "It's going to be a beautiful day."
I love that.
She smiles. At first, she thought it was kind of silly.
Yeah, so like, what did I marry?
Yeah, I know. And I record it once in a while. But sometimes, maybe she wakes up at a different time. I wake up at a different time. We're just, you know, we're not there, or my mind is somewhere else. And if I miss it for a couple of days, she's like, "You know what? You haven't done that in a couple of days, because my mind is like distracted."
Yeah.
So I have to like come back to it. What do you do? I want to really give people some truly pragmatic things.
Absolutely.
So you wake up, it's like,
so
what is that thing?
What I do is a little different than most, because it's so funny how us humans, we look and say, well, what do you do in the morning to wake up at 4 a.m? Or what do you do in the morning to make sure at your highest frequency? Or what do you do in the morning for your routine? And I say, whoa. It doesn't start there. Right? Remember, man-made construct is 24 hours. So what I do is I utilize a different perspective of the day where I'm doing everything today to prepare myself to wake up at 4 a.m., to prepare myself for gratitude
so
when I wake
up.
Starts the day before. And the biggest time is everyone has one habit that they do the majority of their life, and that's sleep. Sleep, remember, we're still connected, the greatest source of energy, the highest light, etc. Even when we fall asleep, our bodies may have been worn out, but the subconscious and unconscious mind is completely connected to that light without much interference. And so if we're very good at cleaning that connection or clearing the interference before we go to bed, we're more likely to wake up in a more natural state of abundance and frequency at a higher level. So for me, I program myself before I go to sleep. I program myself with gratitude, with forgiveness, taking accountability for everything, and then codifying the lessons that I learned.
Are you forgiving yourself?
Always. Because I'm accountable, right? I've attracted it in my life and I'm supposed to learn these lessons. And then the last thing I do is try to reach center, the highest frequency I can. So it goes from gratitude to forgiveness to accountability to inspiration, kind of before I go to sleep, to connect to there. And I have an actual ability to feel a higher source. Then I pass out, usually within 5 minutes at the most, from that point. Therefore, when I wake up, it's almost inherent in my being that gratitude is on my mind, that it's a beautiful day and a smile is on my face. Now, that didn't come naturally. It happened because my mom, with all those kids, number one, always woke us up at 5 a.m. So I was used to being worn out at night.
You had to.
Right, to control us. And then two, always made us say thank you before we went to bed. So because we didn't have a lot monetarily, my mom's philosophy was put faith in what you want and you'll get more of what you want. So she would have us be thankful for all that we had. Unbelievable siblings, a great mom, food on the table, whatever it was. But then, even in the morning, it's kind of like your beautiful day. If we came down in the wrong mindset, my mom would make us go back to our room, change our mindset through gratitude. She would say, go to your room and we're not having this. Go to your room and you think about what you're lucky for, what you're thankful for. Then you come back down and have breakfast. And so this was just something that I learned. And when I got away from gratitude, I had a saying I thought of today, which is, no gratitude, that means no gratitude, no mindset, no money. That was my progression. I had gratitude, mindset, and money. Then I went from no gratitude, no mindset, to no money. And so it was easy to come back.
Yeah. At which age do you think that clicked? I mean, probably when you're 6, and that attitude of go back to your room is probably just super annoying.
Yeah, super annoying. Yeah. No, a lot of those things. When I first got... the second year in law school, my oldest brother died. He had HIV, and it was a recession. I remember praying to God that if he could just pay off my law loans and give me a job to buy my mom a house and a car, that I would shovel, shit with my hands for 7 days a week. And I remember thinking, because I was so I wasn't depressed. I was just so overwhelmed. I was still a happy person. But I found myself at that time for the first time. I went in the shower in the morning. I was crying for no reason. Like, I've never been that guy. Like, you know people, right? I'm crying because of the stress. And I'm like thinking about what I'm doing. And I remember going back home for the funeral of my oldest brother and my uncle and my mom. I wanted to quit law school. I got a job to sell golf clubs. I was a really good natural salesman. And I was going to make like 60 grand. And I was thinking to myself, God, I'm so lucky, like all this stuff. And I was just kind of on the thankful side of things. And then my mom made me go back to law school, telling me that, if I wasn't going to invest in myself, what would I ever invest in? And my uncle was helping me. And I just remember at that time it really clicking in that, none of that other stuff really mattered. Like I was in one of the richest schools with all these rich people. And even though I was deep into debt and thinking, I was just like, wow, I'm so lucky. You know, I'm so thankful that I, like, even when, and it just carried, like, I remember being at graduation going, God, I'm the only one here with four grandparents at my graduation, all four of my grandparents. Man, I'm, so I was really starting to realize, like, God, you got a choice, right? The glass is half empty or it's half full. And I think it took that early bottom for me, just with my brother and all the situation, because I've never really had that much failure. I had struggles and challenges, which just gave me more enjoyment of the pursuit. You know, just like playing football, being, you know, not very talented and being able to play football in college, that was a great pursuit. But like nothing really bad ever happened to me. I didn't miss a meal, right? Yeah, I saw my mom crying because we couldn't afford a bill, right? Yeah, with six kids, I never missed a meal. I somehow went to one of the most expensive colleges and law schools, got a scholarship to, right? It's like, you know, come on, let's be honest. Did I really, you know, I'm coming from the Eastern European side of things. Was life that bad? Not at all. But,
you know, a reset.
Yeah, I needed a thing. And that to me was a shocker. And I think that's really what helped me understand how important gratitude was.
So that consistent daily reminder from your mom growing up is what probably helped you get through it at that point in time, right?
Consistency with anything is what affects our DNA. Yeah. When you talked about what we carry, if you're consistent, that's the only way to change that epigenetic layer. It's the only way to truly activate the DNA that you want.
Sometimes that's our legacy. I mean, that's really what we pass on that's going to be there, you know, in hundreds of years, right?
And you can stop your legacy too. So people have obsessive behavior and compulsive behavior, personality traits and characteristics that are detrimental, that are a lineage or a legacy that are detrimental to your entire legacy. And I love when someone stops the chain. Yeah. They say, I'm going to deactivate. I don't need to drink, or I don't need to do drugs, or I don't need to be abusive, or I don't need to not be kind, or whatever it is. I'm going to stop this. Yeah. And I love that because it will stop and it won't be carried down. But I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.